Welcome back to Toad Talk. Billy Wessels, Clint Foss. Let's just get right into it today. There's not a whole bunch of stuff to talk about.
Let's rip this purple Band-Aid off.
But we're going. It's not necessarily going to be a lot of great stuff we're going to talk about, sadly.
Yeah.
When we talk about...
There's some good things.
Yeah, somewhere here. Somewhere buried in here, there's some good stuff. Don't want to set a total downer for the show, but Billy Wessels, Clint Foster here to talk about the basketball team splitting their last two games against the schools from Kansas.
That's a great way to put it.
I chose the most polite and accurate way to do it. The women's team is off to a rough start. The most powerful program at TCU begins their season tomorrow.
That's
a tease. Won't say what yet.
Yes.
And then we'll sneak in some football and some baseball just because. But yeah, then we'll get to your Twitter question. So that's pretty much it. First, Clint, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thrilled to be here, Billy, as I told you.
Yeah, we were originally going to do yesterday because we were going to do it on the phone because you were supposed to be out of town all week, but you snuck back on Thursday.
I did.
Just for this, I presume.
Yeah, well, yes.
Only for this.
Yes. But I'm very happy not to be wearing a hard hat and being rained on right now. It's very nice.
And this is also a better product for you people instead of like having to listen to it on the phone.
Yes.
It sounds good, but it doesn't sound as good as this. So
you can't get the full HD
4D
effect of our dulcet tones coming into your earbuds.
Man, you know who has the most dulcet tones?
Who's that?
Bomani Jones.
Yeah.
I do love his voice.
Yeah.
But yes,
that's true.
And unfortunately, he wasn't calling the Kansas game for TCU, so I would have found some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thanks a lot, Texas, for riling them up and sending them over to our house.
For real, Texas pissed them off, and they took it out on us. They beat Kansas beat TCU rather 93-64, and it was Kevin Samuel had an alley-oop to make it a 2-point game midway through the first half.
Yeah, for a second it was looking okay, and then the wheels fell off.
Then it all fell apart as Kansas went on a big run to pull away. I broke it down the three ways, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, well, and before you get into that,
okay.
I mean, I don't think it's totally fair to be completely doom and gloom about this game because, I mean, yes, it was a big loss, but I think that was more attributed to that Kansas played so incredibly well and less that we played bad.
Well, we did play bad. I mean, there were two glaring spots in the score in the box where they're like, oh my God, that happened. Oh my God, that happened.
Well, I know we got out rebounded pretty dramatically.
But in you and
without seeing the stats, I could tell you that.
Yes, it was drastic. But you and I had the same amount of rebounds as Kevin Samuel.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like and we weren't on the court. We're not allowed to be.
That's true. They won't let us.
Yeah.
They say go home if you do.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, how many times have we said this year? This team goes as Kevin Samuel goes.
Yep.
And get into it.
The ugly. Well, there's the ugly. That's the ugly.
Start with the bad news.
Well, yeah, I mean, the worst news. Kevin Samuel, 0 rebounds. That's what I put under the ugly category here. I never thought I'd see that. His lowest before, I think, was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was probably like in mop-up duty freshman year or whatever. Like it wasn't like last year against a Big 12 team. Like it's crazy. Only played 18 minutes, had 4 fouls. I think he had 8 points. So there was some saving grace there.
Yeah.
And he was getting worked by everybody.
Yeah, literally
everybody.
It wasn't just one dude.
But it was also the same thing happened in North Dakota State. Like the North Dakota State guys were working him in the paint the entire time. So, and I think they had like 3 top 10 SportsCenter dunks on Kevin Samuel.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. That was a game I was physically in attendance at and was just. I mean, we shot well in that game, but I was what is we should be dominating this team in the paint.
Should have been dominating the team
and
in the paint.
And it
they
was
weren't.
Not happening.
And they didn't. They should never dominate Kansas. I'm not an unrealist. Like
it'd be fun if we did.
It'd be real fun if it was like the Kansas football game of this year or every other time it's been here.
Yeah.
It'd be fun if it was like that, but it's just not. And that was really disturbing. And then the bad, in my opinion, was Mike Miles. And I'm never going to say too many bad things about Mike Miles because I love him. And I warned y'all about Mike Miles for over a year about how good he was going to be. He put up a goose egg.
Yeah.
On 0-of-8 shooting. He played 28 minutes, too, which is second most on the team, second only to RJ. So it's not like he wasn't playing. And it's not like he quit shooting, per se, because it's a decent amount of shots. He could have kept shooting some more, probably. But nothing was falling for him. And things, I think, looked a little short. I don't know if he's getting... it's obviously it's Kansas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting tired playing against Big 12 opponents, against these powerful opponents, but it just gets worse from here as far as the schedule goes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was I want to say it was Fran Fraschilla who said something near the end of the game. They put up that goose egg on the screen, and they were like, and this is one that he is going to learn from, and he's going to get much better after this, because he's a really talented kid, a guy with a really, really high ceiling. It's just, welcome to the Big 12, rookie. You know, that's kind of what you're dealing
hopefully
with.
He takes that as a if you watched, unfortunately, the Ohio State-Clemson game, they showed Justin Fields working out with, like, the highlights from last year's Clemson Ohio State game on the TV in the gym while he was working out. Mm. So, like, maybe this is a game he can, like, put up the zero in the locker or something.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is as bad as it will ever get for him.
And yeah.
So going forward, hopefully that's the
goal. Can't get any worse.
No, literally can't. And then the good, because I'm in on the positive here. Chuck O'Bannon made his biggest contribution.
Yes, very good.
Not only in a TCU uniform, but I want to say going back to his USC days, I don't think he ever had an 18.6 rebound game. He only played 16 minutes, too. So he was phenomenal. He was great shooting. He was what you expected Mike Miles to be in that game. So if you can get O'Bannon to be a solid number three, because right now it's been RJ and Mike, and then you got to go with Sam, as Samuel goes, we've been saying. And the number three spot has been 3-4, whatever you put them. O'Bannon and Easley have kind of maybe taken over that spot. Easley's played really well of late, too. So if that can be your starting five and you can kind of work with that, and Samuel obviously improves, you feel better going forward. You don't feel good looking at the schedule, but you feel better as far as the progress of the team.
Well, hey, I mean, that's just the nature of the Big 12, though. Everybody,
absolutely is.
I mean, even if you are a Baylor or a Kansas, you still got to play everyone else in this conference. You still look at your schedule and you're like, wow. Like, that's a gauntlet to run through.
Yeah, and arguably that's what happened to Kansas Saturday.
Yeah.
Like when they were a home game against Texas, lost by, what, 25, their worst home loss ever or something like that?
Yeah.
And so Texas went in and smoked him. And I don't know who they play next, but hopefully next time they play each other, it'll be a much more compelling game between TCU and Kansas. I think it's in a couple weeks.
In the fog.
Yeah, well, I mean, no fans makes it a little better, I guess, but there were no fans for this one, and it wasn't good either.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be almost 30. Now, TCU did go to Kansas State on Saturday and pulled out a win.
That one went well.
Yeah, and that was a game where, looking at the schedule, you pretty much had to win that game, right? Because the Kansas game started a stretch of 7 of 8 games versus ranked teams, and that 8th game
is Oklahoma.
Is at Oklahoma, where TCU's literally never won. They've never won in Norman. So going back to the 30s or whatever it was when they first met, never won there. So
we haven't won there in much of anything.
Hardly anything. But they at least, like, it's at least usually competitive in football.
Yeah, yeah.
And TCU again has won there in last 2 decades.
We have got to. I mean, basketball specifically, we have got to get over that Oklahoma hump.
Yep.
Because this is a team that, with a very few exceptions, has not been significantly better than us.
Oh,
and we just cannot put it together.
I mean, Trae Young, I guess, but he even wasn't. If you look at the box score, he put up great numbers, but the game here,
I'm thinking like there was the year that they were in the Final Four with the kid that I can't. Heald. That year, I mean, obviously they were one of the best teams in the country, and Trae Young. When you have one really great talent like that. But other than that, usually, this is a game that you should, at the very least, be competitive in, if not win. And we struggle with Oklahoma. And it's just, I can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah, Young, looking at Trae Young, he scored 43 points in the win and the loss at Norman back on whatever date this was, January 13th, 2018. That feels like it was so long ago, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that game was back and forth the whole time.
Well, shoot, this year has already been, what, 6 months?
Right? You know who TCU's leading scorer that game was?
Who was that?
I think it's 2018. Jalen Fisher.
Oh, wow.
At 22 points.
Oh, wow.
Just the name for beyond. Kenny Hustle is the leading rebounder.
Kenny Hustle would have been my guess. But, wow.
TCU was ranked number 16 for that game. And then they fell to 1-4 in conference play after losing that one in overtime. So, yeah. But I think
you know what? Yes, I remember that game now. Yeah. I remember that game
now. That game here was way closer, if I recall. TCU should have won. I think it was the first game in the Big 12. It was. Yeah, TCU lost 90 to 89. So both those games were decided by 6 total points. Trae Young put up 39 in that game too, but he was only 9 of 23 shooting. But yeah, like you said, and TCU was ranked number 10. Oklahoma was number 12 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Not demonstrably better.
Yeah.
Even with Trae Young, they weren't amazing in that game. So it's I don't know. That's a game you need. You should win that one. Get that monkey off your back. Again, they beat Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just the third time ever to win in Stillwater. Mm-hmm. And one of those games was back in the 20s, I think. So, but the Kansas State win, you take wins any way you can get them, like we said. But they were up 18 in the first half and thought you would just run away with it. Because Kansas State's not good this year. They're mm-hmm. they're a downright bad Big 12 team this year. And that ended up being a two-point game with 13 minutes to go and a three-point game with a minute left. And Kansas State had the ball with a chance to tie it. So.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's just, I feel like that's how games in Manhattan tend to go for us. Like,
yeah.
Again, regardless of where the two teams are at, it's just, it's always, you got to escape.
Yeah, life in the Big 12. It's not easy for anybody. Baylor and Texas are both 3-0. Kansas is 3-1. TCU and Texas Tech and West Virginia are all 2-2 in the Big 12. So they're like in the middle of that pack. It's just, if you can beat some of these teams that are ranked ahead of you right now.
Jeez, if you can beat Tech or West Virginia, I feel real
well,
good.
Yeah, well, you play Baylor on Saturday. So yes. You number two team in the country now, I think, and they're rolling everybody. Them and Gonzaga seem to be the two best teams in the country. And shame they couldn't play because Baylor can't keep COVID under control. But so it's hopefully TCU can start a winning streak against Baylor. Back-to-back home wins would be nice.
Yeah, well, and I guess you know, those who live in glass houses and all of that, we shouldn't really throw too many stones about not being able to get COVID under control because we didn't get to watch a bowl game.
Yeah. We can get into that now. Extremely excited about that now. We'll get to everything else in a second. But yeah, very sad about the bowl game, and it was a big bummer. Obviously, this was a week and a half ago now, so people have already aired their grievances and stuff, and you made a video about it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a real bummer. It was And we're all sad and still sad because TC would have won that game by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
It probably 3. And the Big 12 would have gone 6-0 in bowl games.
Yeah.
And
which is really, honestly, very meaningless as far as I'm concerned.
It's incredibly meaningless, but it's still, it's like.
It still would have been cool.
It still would have been cool. And the SEC would have gone, 1-9 or whatever they won in bowl games because they all get to go to a bowl game. So it was a bummer. And arguably the worst news of that day was our Darius Washington committing or deciding to go to the draft, because that should, I mean, if you listen to the Frogcast or whatever the other day, you heard Jeremy say that he was probably told he shouldn't have gone. So
I agree.
Yeah, well, we all agree. he was great last season.
Yes,
he was good this year.
Well, and you never know. I mean, you know, having...
You don't know the family situation.
You never know. Like Ed Wesley had to leave early. He had to end his career early because he had stuff going on that he had to deal with, right? Yeah. You never know what people have to deal with. But I hate it because... I mean, Trey Merrick, yes. You're going to go probably in the first two first rounds.
Well, probably a first round pick.
Yeah, at the very worst, you're a second round pick.
Yeah.
You're the best safety in the nation going into this draft. It's fine. I hate to see you go, but it's fine.
I get it.
Ardarius Washington, I mean, obviously I wish him the best. I love watching him play. I hope he's really successful. But oh my God, this feels so much like a Chris Hackett thing to me.
It almost feels worse than Chris Hackett
because he doesn't have Chris Hackett's size.
Right, exactly. Chris Hackett had the measurables.
Yes, I've said that to my friends as well. I'm like, you know, at least Chris could say like, oh yeah, I'm like 6'2", 6'3", and really rangy, and I was coming off of a great season. Like, Ardarius, you're coming off a season 2 years ago, and you're like probably smaller than me. Like, I don't know. Like,
let's see. I do wonder what his official measurements are, because it is going to be interesting to compare him not just to you, but to the most. He's 5'8", 180.
Yeah, and my driver's license says I'm 5'9". So there you go.
And what are you, a cool 165?
Well, I'm definitely heavier than 180 right now. I haven't weighed myself late. I'm probably around 200 pounds right now.
Yeah. So you
so for Darius so, Washington, so arguably, if you want to wrestle, I'm down.
So arguably you have more of an NFL ready body far as the pure measurables are.
Oh yeah.
Than our Darius. But our Darius, again,
check me out.
A great athlete, and just hope, because this is gonna be like at best probably a sixth round pick now. Yeah. Like,
oh, I bet somebody takes a late round flyer on him, but yeah, I mean, sixth, seventh round.
Preseason, like, someone had him in the first round, and I was blown away.
Well,
had him and Trey Merrick both in the first round.
And that was assuming he had the same type of season that he had as a freshman. But yeah, man, I don't know. Somebody was getting some bad advice, or maybe he's just trying. There's something going on. Someone's sick, and he's trying to make some money.
Yeah, like you look at Artavius Lynn and Pro Wells. I think they've both said they've got family to take care of, kids to take care of, family to take care of. So I can get it, and And sadly, their talents were not being shown off as well as our Darius Washington's are here at TCU. So wish our Darius the best. Wish Lynn and Merrig and Wells the best as they go pro. Mm-hmm. But it's a bummer. And again, arguably, that was the worst news of the day. That was worse than the bowl game being canceled, in my opinion. Because that impacts next year's team.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bowl game, which sadly are meaningless now, that you would have won, I think, without our Darius. I think with Foster and Nuke Bradford, but it sounds like Merrig would have played, considering Merrig didn't announce he's going pro until after that.
Yeah.
So it.
Well, I mean, and you know, when you talk about next year, I do think Nuke Bradford, Josh Foster. I mean, we have very competent guys who are moving in, but the shame. So we're still going to have a good defense next year. The shame is, like me and you had talked about, that could have been the best.
Could have been the best.
So. The very best. And now we won't get to see it.
It's still going to be a very salty secondary. I mean, the cornerback depth is going to be ridiculous.
You
love your top four corners now.
Yeah, which is what a thing to say.
I don't think any other school can say that. Yeah. I really don't, unless you're Alabama.
I love my top four
corners. Your top four corners you feel really confident in. So outside of that... You'll feel really good about the secondary. Again, you'll probably slide in Nuke Bradford for sure. I think he's going to one of the spots, probably Merrick's spot. And then for Washington, we saw Josh Foster come in and play his spot. He had a pick, I think it was first or second play.
Yeah.
I think I said that before too. He's come in. We saw Bud Clark a little bit in the Kansas game.
Yes, Bud
Clark. So there's talent there. It's not there's not talent. We're still waiting for Atanza Vongor to be a thing.
I was about to say as soon as I had a minute, I was going to say Atanza Vongor still exists. Yeah.
Donovan Collins, we were just saying, I love him. I love him like another son. So, but that's going to be
is he the new Garrett Waller?
He's going to be Vernon Scott because I loved Vernon Scott for years. He didn't really play as a senior, and now he's playing in the playoffs. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's going to be the next Vernon Scott. So we'll see how it goes.
I guess Kari Coleman is this podcast's unofficial Garrett Wallow now. He's on this side of the table.
Louisiana kid. Who is my Garrett
Wallow? Of us has an unhealthy obsession with.
Yeah, who's been my... I mean, my guy for that's been Blair Conroy, but he wasn't as dominant as Kari Coleman was this year. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there was another one of my... Andrew Coker I was super high on from the very beginning, too, like Garrett Wallow.
Yeah.
So maybe...
His potential's still there.
No, it is. He had a step back this year. He was great freshman year, not good this year, but again, finished strong with the rest of the O-line did. Mm-hmm. So you still feel good about next year. I'm still all in on 2021, baby.
Cause. I tell you what, again, another thing about the bowl game, I really hate... I mean, yes, we probably would have won the game, but I would have loved to see how our O-line performed against what would have been the best defensive line they'd faced in multiple weeks, you know? I feel like it would have been a better measuring stick of how much progress they'd made.
Is that a defensive line that's up there with West Virginia and Oklahoma and stuff?
I mean, I don't think they're as good as West Virginia, but they would have been significantly better than Baylor, Texas Tech, you know, Louisiana Tech. A lot of those teams that we played in the last half of the year. I mean, because Arkansas, you're talking about a team that had... really solid pass defense and pretty good pass rush.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like that would have been a good litmus test. Yeah, but alas and alack, we did not get to see it.
We don't get a new trophy for this. TCU did get a new quarterback.
Yes.
So coming in. Chandler Morris, who we saw I had been told he was pretty much down to TCU or Arkansas when he was recruiting wise, then Oklahoma came at the very last second and basically scooped him up.
Yeah.
So, and
the farmer Scott.
Yeah. Right. And so then he didn't he like catch a touchdown in the Cotton Bowl, or he played in the Cotton Bowl, right?
I thought he ran for a.
Did he run for a touchdown?
Maybe he ran for a touchdown in the Big 12 Championship.
Cowboys
Stadium.
Yeah, it's all running together. Yeah. I feel like he scored a touchdown, and then the next day he's going to TCU. So it feels a little sketch, but again, the TCU was really really high on him. Coming out, so the former Highland Park kid. But goodbye, Stephen Brown, and we never get to see his package.
R.I.P. to Stephen Brown's package.
I said that before in my life. Yeah. But we'll see. Good luck to him wherever he goes. And it looks like Kenny Hill will be coaching Chandler Morris as the backup.
Yeah, most likely. Saying that was the most likely thing to happen. And so, but it's worth mentioning. No word on any Chad Morris coming to the Fort.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had multiple people say it's not going to happen. So, yes, it's multiple sources. Even someone else yesterday was like, I don't know if you heard it or not. It's not happening. Thanks, I knew. But, yes.
Just Chandler, no Chad.
Just Chandler.
So. And, you know, I mean, people are talking about, hey, this could make the quarterback situation interesting. I don't know about that. I think it's Max's job to lose.
I think Duggan's still your starter the next 2 years at least.
But if nothing else, I mean, competition breeds success. Yep. Like, if nothing else, Chandler's a guy who's going to push Max to be that much better. This is a kid who's already insanely motivated and insanely hard worker. Yeah. Push him to be that much better. You have some actual depth for the first time in, like, too long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Chandler Morris, assuming he sticks around for the long haul, maybe he's the heir apparent after Max leaves.
Yeah.
Unless Alexander Honig comes in and light the world on fire. Yeah. Let's go, big German. Let's go.
Purple Dirk. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it's We'll see. I don't know. He's going to be backing up to Max for at least 2 years.
I like actually having multiple warm bodies in the quarterback room. That in itself excites me.
it's got to, right? Like, yeah. Because you've been... The backups haven't barely been what you hope they've been the last few years.
But just in the last handful of years, we've gone from way too many quarterbacks to no quarterbacks to, like, just enough to function.
Yeah.
To now, like, okay, we're back to, like, a normal, like, we have depth people.
At quarterback.
People exist in the room.
Yeah, so we feel good about football going forward. We feel good about football the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. We feel good about baseball because hopefully that is only about 5 weeks away because the season traditionally starts around Valentine's Day, but there isn't a schedule out on GoFrogs yet I haven't seen. I don't know if they're doing just Big 12 play. They're doing just Big 12 play that could push the season back another month or so. Uh-huh. So we'll see. As far as of now, the Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC haven't announced changes to their schedule. This was as of about a week and a half ago when I saw this article published. And there isn't a 2021 schedule on GoFrogs. So that's a little weird, but here we are. Worth noting that in the article I read, so the Big Ten has said they'll play no non-conference games, but they're open to reverse that decision, of course, if it helps Ohio State make the tournament, probably.
That would be the assumption.
Probably. And I added the Ohio State part. But,
yeah, I was like, I think that was a joke.
Yes.
But I wouldn't put it past
them. But yes, they did say they're open to reversing their decision.
Yeah.
I threw in the Ohio State thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of Ohio State thing, they're going down tomorrow.
Oh, they better, man.
They're going to get spanked tomorrow because TCU's most dominant program is going to Ohio to start their season. The TCU women's rifle team.
Yes.
The most recent national champion in the bunch.
Yes.
As of what haven't they won like 5 of the last 7 or something stupid like that?
Dynasty.
It really is. I mean, and I don't
know. We beat the Armed Services Academies, okay?
I don't love that. I like it. I don't love it, though. Because I feel like that should be better used in their future fields. But
hey. Win's a win.
TCU's a rifle school. They play Ohio State on Friday and Akron on Saturday to and then hopefully get out of Ohio as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So
as all should.
And then another women's team, the women's basketball team dropped to 0-4 in Big 12 play, losing to Baylor 74-50 and Oklahoma State 78-53. They play OU next on Saturday, and OU is 1-3 in Big 12 play. So that's a possible win. Again, they're not really good either, so maybe you can get off the schneid there. And then they were going to play Kansas State next week. Kansas State's also winless, but they've already canceled that game because of COVID. So. So we'll see how that goes. They're kind of wasting a year where Lauren Hurd, without the great talent around her, is still putting up 18 points, 6.4 rebounds, and 5 assists per game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's a little bit of a rebuilding year, a little bit, with the exception of Lauren Hurd.
But. Yeah, but she's a senior, so yeah. So it's a yikes. So it could be a year or two before they
so yikes.
That's all the notes I had. You want to get into Twitter questions now? Do you want to anything else you want to mention? You want to talk about?
Let's answer some Twitter questions because that tends to spark my wandering mind.
It does.
As well.
It does tend to. First and foremost, we're getting to that. I got a message yesterday from a loyal friend, listener, and I'm trying to pull up the message now. Robert Solis sent me a note. I'm just going to read it. Coach Butch Gillum was his high school coach. He's not doing well health wise. He played at TCU from what I think 63 to 65 or something like that. He's not sure if he played those years or not. Just wanted to bring that to the audience's attention and see if you could pray for him. His son said he played 63 through 66. So there you go. As an offensive line, and he was an offensive line coach at Edinburgh after that. So wish him a speedy recovery.
Former Frog.
So anyone in the Frog family willing to reach out and wish them the best. So
absolutely. Yeah. Prayers up for him.
Yep.
Man, speaking of Edinburgh, this is old news now at this point, but that freaking kid who got them kicked out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
What about that, man?
Yeah, this is not a good dude, right?
Not good at all. And it turns out the VP of sales at my company that I work for, he was like, he lives in Edinburgh, and he's like, oh yeah, I know that kid's dad and everything, and we were all talking about it. He's like, yeah, that kid, let's just say he was about 100 pounds lighter last year.
Oh, okay. So, he's got some rage building, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
You couldn't tell. Start with Drip King at D Duncan Soul. How are you supposed to feel about the relatively slow progress of Dixon and the Hoops program?
I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances to consider, you know?
But are there?
Yeah, there are. We've talked this through. So you had, we were on the right trajectory. We get to, I got to get my years right.
Well, you win the NIT.
You win the NIT, you get to the NCAA tournament the next year.
And you make the NIT Final Four. Mm-hmm. And then last year they were bad. And this year they don't seem to be a whole lot better than bad.
Last year you had a mass exodus of transfers for a whole heap of reasons.
Right, right.
All completely unconnected to each other. So then you're essentially back to square one, having to build all over again.
And
it also just so happens, oh, hey, surprise, you're in the best dadgum basketball conference in the whole frickin' nation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of an uphill climb.
It's a bit of an uphill climb, but you would hope by now, because it's what, year five with him? Year six of the Jamie Dixon era?
Yeah.
I mean, you would hope by the 6 years you're pulling a guy who led a team to be number one in the country. This is his fifth year. You're hoping by then you could be a team that's a perennial tournament team. And I've always said that that's the expectation.
Yeah.
And if he had taken the UCLA job, it would have been make the Final Four in 3 years or you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you make the tournament every 3 years, you're good.
Yeah.
You're a god. They'll build a statue of you.
Mm-hmm.
So and I don't – they're not there right now. But I'm very excited for next year because assuming Samuel comes back, which is iffy, because I think because he was testing the water last year. He might have tested it 2 years in a row, I think. Comes back for his senior year. Another year of Mike Miles because as good as he is, I don't think he's leaving this early anyway to go pro.
Right.
Nembhard's got another year, I believe. Because I think he's a.
I thought he was a senior.
He's a junior, but also this year doesn't count, right?
Oh, right.
So again, Samuel, he's a junior, but this year doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Nimbar's going pro.
Yeah,
like he's good. I don't think he's going pro good right now anyway.
Yeah,
we're seeing O'Bannon finally become a thing, and PJ Fuller, Farabello are giving you some things off the bench. So I think you need another. Forward, like your forward right now is Kevin.
Fetty Lampkin can grow up, man.
And talk about growing up. I want to see what he's listed as weight wise on here. He's listed at 295. He's not 295 anymore. Mm-hmm. We got to see him for a couple of minutes in the Kansas game. He's got to be closer to 260.
He had slimmed down pretty.
He's lost probably 20-30 pounds. I saw him. I ran into him on campus maybe about this time a year ago. I want to. It was before COVID. I was in the rec center working out. And he looked every bit of 295, if not a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lost like 40 pounds or so. I want to say at least 40 pounds he's lost in the last calendar year. So he's mm-hmm. looking much better. Also, he's freaking hilarious. The best part of going to basketball games the last couple of times have been seeing his reaction on the TV screen, like during the timeout stuff, which is not great. You're like, oh, the best part of going to the game is seeing the halftime show. But Eddie Lampkin hopefully can develop. So I like the pieces. And it seems like everyone should be back next year, which will be nice because everyone's been – it's been a lot of fluctuating the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So if you can get a full year of everyone back and healthy and staying safe, you feel better because, you know, Kansas is going to lose guys to the draft.
Yeah.
Baylor is going to lose guys to the draft. West Virginia is going to lose guys to the draft. Texas will probably lose a guy to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think TCU will lose anybody to the draft. So that gives you a year of continuity and balance. And kind of you notice those Kansas teams, when they're at their best, they had senior point guards.
Yeah.
So you get a guy like Mike Miles to stick around for a couple of years, you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, and like we said, going into this year, this is a year where you're happy if you're in NIT contention, basically.
Yep.
And next year, the expectation is – get into the NCAA tournament. If you don't get into the NCAA tournament next year, and you don't have to even win a game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
if you don't get in, then you start to say, okay, wait.
Yeah.
Something is amiss. But you have to take into account that we're essentially building from block number one, you know, with everything that happened last year. Even though we'd made so much great strides, the arrow was pointing up, took a big dip because of just some really bad circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the roster from last year, obviously they lost Desmond Bain, right? That was the biggest loss. What, Jair Greer, he was a senior. He's not back. Edric Dennis isn't back. So you lost.
When I'm just talking mid-season, you had all of those transfers.
And probably they're not on the roster anymore, is why I can't see them. But yeah. I'm looking at, like, Kendrick Davis was on the team in 18-19.
Mentioned Jalen Fisher earlier.
So these guys are, Jalen Fisher should still be around, right?
Yeah.
This should be his senior year, I think.
Yeah.
So he should still be around. He's not. So a bunch of stuff's going on. A lot of injuries. You don't seem to have too many injuries anymore. And so things, I think, are looking up.
There was a lot of bigs, too, that we assumed were going to be longtime contributors. Angus McWilliam, we thought, was going to be really, really great in the paint. Never really saw the court.
And next year you'll see Soulman Dumbuye. Dumbuye, whatever his name is. Yeah. So Soulman will come in and hopefully light a fire at that forward in the post. So I'm definitely I don't feel great about the slow progress because I would like this to be a perennial bubble team at worst.
Sure.
And I don't think last year was a bubble team. I don't think this year is necessarily a bubble team either. So hopefully they pick up soon. Let's just say.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's next?
I don't think you need to push the panic button on Jamie Dixon yet.
No. And like GP, he'll be here till he doesn't want to be here
anymore. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Because this is a much lower stake gig than UCLA. Mm-hmm. He'll be here as long as he wants to be here. So, there was a lot on Twitter yesterday, so I'm trying to go through and see what all the questions were. if you're not aware, So let's see.
if you're not aware, how?
Yeah, I don't know how you're not aware.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going, I can't distinguish what, I don't want to miss any of these questions. So Doug Surgery Dude says, so what I saw was Kansas in my distant GA seat was a team that does the very fundamental basics poorly, free throws, setting screens, moving without the ball, playing aggressive defense, and I find it amazing that Kevin is routinely ignored. That wasn't a question, it's a statement for discussion.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that was a fair assessment for the Kansas game. The Kansas State game, they were 18 of 20 on free throws or something crazy like that.
Which was such a revelation.
It was.
I was like, oh my gosh, can we do this every time,
please? And they can't. But
yeah.
But that one was great. You see the ups and downs, and Kevin Samuel's gotten way better as a free throw shooter. But Kevin Samuel just had a really bad night last night. Really bad night. Not last night, whatever night that game was. Tuesday at 9 p.m. also, which was stupid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I do find it troubling, though, and this is something that, I mean, this doesn't seem to just be a Jamie Dixon problem, because it was kind of the same way when Trent Johnson was here. But, you know, he referenced it. Our offense doesn't seem to do much, right? So we have this tendency where we get it down the floor. We're terrible in the fast break, but in a normal offensive possession, we get it down the floor, we pass it around the arc for 15 seconds.
Well, you want to see whoever has an open three is going to take it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the offense. Who's got an open three?
But he's like, we aren't successful at setting up screens. When are we even setting up screens? Are we?
Yeah.
Like,
you'll see an occasional pick and roll, and that didn't work against Kansas, obviously, but you've seen it a couple times. I want to say Oklahoma State was pretty successful. So,
but my point is, it's few and far between, or that we're even running plays. It seems, I don't know if it's just our execution is that poor, so they just never get off the ground. I mean, surely a coach is competent and great as Jamie Dixon isn't just not being like, go out there and make something happen.
Yeah, in their defense, basketball is, I feel like in my eyes, it's harder to see a play, right? In football, you can see a play develop. You can see things happening. And basketball, you either got to pick and roll or get an open shot somehow. I don't see a whole lot of necessarily all the time. And I get it, set plays out of inbound passes. I get that.
Yeah.
But you don't see a whole lot of like motion and set and go out wide like you do in football and stuff. Sure. It's got to be, you got to beat your man, and it's a lot of man-to-man, and who can get open, who can...
But still, ideally, you'd like to see something other than just the same three guys passing the ball around the arc until the clock runs out, and you got to throw up something.
Ideally, yes. You don't want to throw up anything.
Yeah.
You
got to keep it down.
Peter Singer, at Coach Singer 34, still wondering what's going on with Brooks and why he didn't see the field, even in blowouts.
It was only a matter of time before the Marcel Brooks questions made their way onto Toad Talk.
I got an email on Christmas Eve asking about it. I rarely get emails about this stuff.
It's because, Billy, you're part of the 24/7 family now.
100%.
That is where the Marcel Brooks angst is at its peak.
It's flaming hot over there. But yeah, if you check the message boards there, you'll see Jeremy teased possibly moving to wide receiver next year. So,
I mean, is that for real, though? Like, is that for real?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I texted you about that whenever I heard that.
Yeah, and I had...
And you hadn't heard it yet.
I hadn't checked the board yet. It's on there. It's on the board somewhere. Someone's saying it. So,
and I think my text was something like, ha, 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 what? Yeah. Something like that.
But like, is would that be a bad thing though?
I mean, I guess not. I mean, if he can play it, let's go.
I mean, see him at tight end? Like it's not that much different, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if he's got a better chance
to see him in the field. He's 6'2", 205, so he can play receiver. Like, he can't play receiver. He's big, he's fast, athletic. I don't know, man. I don't love it, but I don't hate it either.
I did see, I want to say he had a tweet around that same time, and this is, you know, us putting on our detective hats.
To figure out what a 19-year-old said on Twitter,
right?
Yeah.
And he said something to the effect of, back in my element, right? So I don't know what that means, you know, speculate as you may. But that was around the same time that I heard this rumor that I saw him tweet that.
Yeah, I don't think he was, his senior year in 2018 had 31 catches for 635 yards.
I think we might be onto something here.
It could be something.
Us gumshoes here on the Toad Talk podcast.
I've got a raging clue. I think it's a thing you might see. All right, last, we'll finish with Brian Banks as usual. Add B Banks, 21-21. Over under 13.5 starts for Chandler Morris at TCU.
For his career?
Yeah.
So basically more
does
than...
Does he get a season?
Yeah. Well, more than a season, actually.
Right.
13.5. So, yeah, I'd say over, because I think you may see him as the starter his senior year, and then that also allows for, like, God forbid Max gets injured a game and he's got to start the next week or something like... I'd say over.
Do you think he's going to sit here for 2 years behind Duggar?
That is the question.
And quarterbacks don't do that anymore.
They really... They don't, man. And it's
most, not just quarterbacks. Most kids don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks especially don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Instant gratification culture. I mean, ideally, that used to be Texas Tech's, like, thing all through the Mike Leach years. It was like they had a different senior quarterback every single season.
Yep.
You know, and the guys would just sit there and wait, and they'd learn the system, and then all of a sudden they'd have another record-setting offense because it was another redshirt senior who was, like, 26 years old.
Also, don't forget Sam Jackson. I think he's a very real threat to be the backup.
That's true. That's true.
I think
I completely forgot about Sam Jackson.
I think he's more likely to start. I say he starts a game before Chandler Morris starts a game.
Okay.
Said it. Hot take.
You have called your shot.
Hot take. So I'm hitting the under hard on 13.5 starts for Chandler Morris at TCU.
Okay.
What will Sark's record against TCU be after 4 years?
0-4.
I'm going to say 1-3. I bet. I think 2022 there could be...
He'll steal one, but it's going to be a lot of the same.
Yeah. Or maybe...
I mean, I don't ever wish anything good for Texas, but I really hope that this isn't a disaster for Steve Sarkisian personally. I really hope that.
Well, this feels a lot like Tom Herman as far like with the resume. It feels a lot like Tom Herman. It does. So,
but it's just like Sark hasn't necessarily shown that he can have just outlandish success as a CEO head coach anywhere he's been.
No.
I mean, he was like competent at Washington, but it's like you come to Texas where the expectations are ridiculously sky high for no reason other than, you know, 40 years ago history, basically. And you've got a guy who, you know, bless his heart, has struggled with addiction.
A lot of issues,
he's going to have a ton of pressure on him. He's going to have boosters up his tailpipe all the time. Like, this is a recipe for disaster, I am afraid to say. And not the good kind of hee-hee rubbing my hands disaster for Texas, but like a bad disaster.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be good or it's going to be really bad.
Yeah.
I don't see this being like a... I don't think they're going to win a national title under him.
Well, they're already claiming a Heisman.
Well, of course.
So stupid. The most Aggie thing Texas has ever done since NIT national champions.
Man. Oh, yeah, it's true. What's the best beach?
The, location?
I guess. I haven't been to many beaches.
I haven't been to many either.
I've never been a big beach person.
You know, yeah, I'm not a huge beach person myself. I've only been to a handful. Probably the best beach I ever was at, though, was in Hawaii. I don't know which beach it was, but it was in Maui. It was a beach. It was very beautiful, and the water was nice and very great.
That probably wins.
I don't highly recommend California beaches because the water is frickin' freezing and usually pretty rough.
Yep.
South Carolina. Went to a very nice beach in South Carolina that I enjoyed.
Hoping to check it. Hopefully sometime this year we'll go to somewhere. Get out of here some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Would you drive without a seatbelt for 1 month for a 38-game win streak?
So you're talking about potentially getting some bad tickets, but
I was thinking more of wrecks. But yeah. I guess tickets are up there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
I've never been in a car wreck, knock on wood.
Oh, wow.
So
really?
Technically, I was in one when my mom was pregnant with
but
me.
But you've never been in the driver's seat for a car wreck. Okay. No. Yeah, I've only been in, well, only one bad one, and I was the only one involved in it. And, yeah, other than that, just been super, super minor stuff. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, heck yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah. But sure, why not? For a month, sure. For a 30-game win
streak. I'm looking for a reason to peace out of Earth anyway, honestly. This is not to advocate.
Aggressive.
Yeah, that was a little aggressive.
Are you okay?
No, yeah.
Are you getting sponsored by Talkspace? Is that what we need to do for this?
I'm totally good.
Let's see. Let's go with, what's your New Year's resolution?
I don't have one. Really?
Sounds like to leave.
Yeah. To get to Mars. But I mean, I have a personal goal, business-wise that I want to meet in my job, but I don't really have any resolutions right now. You know, just try to always be the best version of myself.
We all are. I think the common one is obviously weight loss, right? Trying to lose a little weight. That's mine. Like I lost about 60 pounds since quarantine started. So
have you really?
Yeah.
You know what? It shows. It does.
You never. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't like talk about it. I'm like, how much did you weigh today, Billy?
You sit across the table from me a lot. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking that it looked like you had lost weight, but I didn't know that you were trying to.
I think 66 technically as of today from the beginning of. Beginning of March when everything shut down. So, yeah.
Right on, man.
So, I was doing, like, crazy heavy, like, almost, like, powerlifting type stuff. Like, heavy, like, strongman type lifting stuff. So, like, now I can, like, once the gym shut down for, like, 2 or 3 months, whatever it was there, and I tried to lift again, I could barely do half what I was doing after taking 2 months off.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, screw it. I'm going to go back to losing weight. So, so much for those goals. I'm going to go be smaller. So, yeah, that's been the goal for a while, just keep that going. So.
Hey, man, you've done it before, man.
I have done it before. It's
to great effect.
Yeah, it's true. It's my I call myself like Gumby, like because Gumby can be like a lot of different shapes, kind of like up and down. So it's
same charming claymation character,
very much like a melted wax figure. Like you don't know what it, like it starts here, then goes down here, then freezes and comes back up here. And my weight's all over the place. It's been a wild ride,
Billy. If I had like 4 years to kill, I would totally make like a claymation version of you.
New Year's resolution, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, you can try it now.
Except for it's gonna be like Parks and Rec, where it's gonna be 3 seconds. I'll be like, that was three months of work.
That was my life.
How is it not longer?
Maybe I should have saved that one for last. Because I saved this one for last. What's the best sauce?
The best sauce.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is a loaded question. Oh man, do you already have one in the chamber?
I have one. I love the like the sweet chili sauce.
Uh-huh.
Like you see it like Asian restaurants. You see it on the Asian aisle of like grocery stores.
Oh, usually, right.
It's in like a big glass bottle. And
yeah.
One of my buddies is Filipino, and he and his family makes these egg rolls, and it's called something else. I can't think of what it's called right now, but it's so good, and they put it in this sauce, and the sauce you can get everywhere, but just that combination with this sauce is phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many good sauces out there, and I mean, you know, they each have their own individual purpose, right?
Lumpia. That's what it's called.
Lumpia. Okay.
Filipino spring rolls.
Wow. I mean, I'm a big fan of many different types of barbecue sauces, Whataburger ketchup.
Whataburger spicy ketchup for sure.
Eel sauce. Is really good, just generally speaking. But I feel like if you're talking about best sauce, you got to talk about something that's the most versatile, right? You can use with the most things.
Yeah.
It's probably ranch, right? Because you can put ranch. There's so many different variations of ranch. You can put it with so many. You're not a ranch fan?
It's the grossest thing on the planet.
Is it really?
It's the most disgusting thing on the planet.
My wife is addicted to ranch.
Oh, my God.
She loves ranch.
And that might be, it's up there with, I can't do ranch, I hate cheesecake, and I can't drink coffee.
You've talked about cheesecake before. I do agree with you on the coffee thing.
Can't do coffee.
And it's weird to me because I am a chocolate fiend. I love chocolate, but I cannot get into coffee.
Well, it's not chocolate. You know that, right?
But I know
it looks like chocolate. It's not chocolate.
But people tell, hey, you know that, and I know that. But people tell me all the time, they're like, well, wait, you like chocolate. Why don't you like coffee? It's so similar. It's so much.
It's not. It's not the same thing at all.
I agree. I'm glad there's someone else on this planet that understands that.
The dumbest thing I've heard in my entire life.
I can't believe no one's ever brought that up to you.
No,
but I 1,000,000% agree with you.
No, it's not coffee, right? Well, a stupid joke.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like coffee cake.
But same. And I love the smell of coffee.
Yes.
Like, I love going down the aisle at Central Market with all the fresh press coffees. I love that.
Yeah.
Taste. Hard pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a good hot chocolate. Now, that is chocolate.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it's technically it's a chocolate. Hot kind.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, I've even had, like, I had a friend at one of my old jobs who was like, oh, man, I'm going to get you into coffee, man. You haven't experienced it right. You haven't done it right. And he did, like, this, like, super crazy, like, reverse.
On coffee?
I'm going to get you into coffee.
All right. All right.
I've got to think of like some poem that I can pair it with. But he did some like reverse osmosis, like Japanese type of double filtration, like, you know, looked like, you know, there's like beakers everywhere and like Bunsen burners and stuff. And he's like, try it. How is it? And I was like, it's still terrible.
Yeah. Like, I bet
and
it was.
Like, and then he was like, okay, try it now. He dumped a bunch of chocolate syrup and he's like, try it now. I was like, this is good. Like,
chocolate good.
Yeah.
Coffee bad. Yeah. We're learning something today. Speaking of my Filipino friend, it was Chris, at Pacifico Bob on Twitter. We talked yesterday. I actually followed him on Twitter. I know I wasn't following him on Twitter until yesterday because of all the craziness. But yeah, give him a follow because he's funny too.
Mm.
But he got this coffee one time that was... allegedly picked off the side of a mountain and like digested by like meerkats or monkeys or something.
I've heard about out. That. Yes, I've
it's
heard
terrible. It's terrible.
This tastes like crap.
Like you cut the you got the wrong small firm things out of the animal's behind, like the small clumps. It's atrocious. I don't do coffee, but yet ranch is the worst thing on the planet. I had.
You don't even like some Chipotle ranch?
Oh, no. I had Chipotle mayo? The closest thing I'll ever try is the Outback Steakhouse, like, Bloomin' sauce.
Okay.
I don't hate that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't love it either.
What is it about... I wonder what it is about ranch that turns you off so much. Is it like the smell of it?
The smell's real bad. I had a...
Because I know like when you rinse out a dish that had ranch in it, it smells terrible.
Freshman year at TCU, I had a girlfriend throw ranch at me and I never talked to her again. That's a true story.
Over.
Done. It was done. And she knew I didn't like ranch. She threw something. I left the main.
I was a branch too far. Walked back to the dorm
and I'm like, I'm done. I'm taking a shower immediately. I was in an elevator once. And someone was bringing a salad up to the... This is when I was an intern at a PR firm back in 2011. Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
In downtown Dallas.
Can you believe that was so long ago,
crazy.
By the way?
It was. I worked on the 36th floor in one of those downtown buildings. It's the big building with the hole in the middle.
Yeah.
I worked on the 36th floor of that building.
Wow.
And so someone was getting a salad up from the basement. The basement had a lunch spot with pretty good fried rice, if I do recall. And she got a salad, and we were going up, and her ranch... I saw it falling off of her tray, and I jumped into the corner like I was Spider-Man out of the movie, like to avoid
touching
me.
You're like the Grinch up in the ceiling corner.
100%. So it wouldn't touch me. I can't do it. The worst thing on the planet.
Wow.
I've always like you're more religious guy. I'm not religious really, and I've always thought hell could be like your own personal hell. It could be different for everybody.
Sure.
I've always thought it is, and my version of it is roughly like
you're like in a bath of
like
ranch.
A 7x7 room. Filled with Jello. I don't like Jello either.
Really?
I don't like Jello. Up to like my waist in Jello, with ranch dripping through the ceiling, and a clown is somehow like there's a TV of like just watching it.
I see just like the nightmare building in your
that's
eyes.
That's my nightmare. I hate it.
Yeah.
I can't. That's all I've thought. Like if hell is a thing and you can have your own personal hell, that's mine.
Jello too, man. You're a lot pickier than I realized you were.
That's why it's so easy to lose weight, right?
Yeah,
you're not eating anything.
Yeah,
but it's the Jello is really the texture.
Yeah,
I can't. The texture is weird.
My wife is really into textures too. It's like because she's kind of a picky eater, and a lot of times it's just like, no, I can't. I don't like the because like she cannot stand fish at all, and I love seafood. Like I love sushi, I love poke, I love cooked seafood, all kinds, and she's like, I can't do. The texture of it, like it just freaks her out.
Yep,
it's gross to her. It's weird. I weird. Like eat all things.
I mean, I love sushi. Just don't put it in ranch.
Pretty much anything but a raw onion. Like if you put it in front of me, I'm gonna. It's
like
going
if you
down
put
the
raw
hatch.
Onion like on a burger or like raw onion. Like if I just threw you like a half an onion.
I don't. I just really unless it's like really cooked into something. I just don't like. Crunchy
I would
onions.
Take a bite out of an onion like an apple before I
would. You really?
Before I would try anything dipped in ranch.
Wow.
The hottest of all takes I might have ever had.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Well, there you go.
That could very well be the hottest hot take. And if you can't think of a better way to end the show, I'm glad I saved that question for last.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because that gave us like 10 extra minutes of goofiness.
Aha!
We did it.
That always works. Defense. We did it.
Another one in the can. Clint, you want to promote something?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Check out those videos if you haven't, or give them a second watch even, right? I mean, surely they're funny on a second watch. All my videos on YouTube, TCU fans, working on a couple of sketches right now that I'm trying to put to film. Also,
any update on the one that we talked about?
He has the script.
Okay.
And he has not read it yet, as far as I know.
Okay.
So I am trying not to bug him too much about it.
Yeah, you don't want to become, albeit a part of the sketch.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So I'm trying to let it breathe. I'm trying to be like, okay, he'll get around to it when he has time. But we'll see. I am, though, it looks like I'm going to attempt, after a lot of requests, I'm going to attempt Bachelor reaction videos.
Oh, God.
So
I voted on that three times. No,
I mean,
I'm not gonna watch those. Just be honest, I'm not gonna.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine because I have a lot of people who want to watch.
I'll click on them so you get the view, but I'm not gonna watch it.
And I literally
slide the cursor to the end so you get credit for it. But I'm not gonna watch.
This is a show that I do not watch very regularly. I've watched maybe 2-3 seasons of Bachelor and Bachelorette combined.
I watched like 2 episodes of it.
Yeah, and well, it's always because, you know, Abby's like gotten into this one, you know, so we're watching this one. So we've watched the first episode now. I'm working on a script, so we'll see if we can get
forward to that,
by this
guess.
Weekend.
And I'm at Billy Wessels. Go to Horned Frog Blitz, sign up. A lot of good info on there. Maybe you'll see what's happening with Marcel Brooks tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah. So back in his element.
Back in his element. Catching touchdown passes, baby. We'll talk to you guys next week.